Well, hello there, Meow Mentors. It's Cat Lady Justin, and this is the Kitty Boss, where we pick, pamper, and protect your practically perfect pussycat for a lifetime of unconditional love. It's April, not just my birthday month, but also it's springtime. So we're going to talk about all of those issues that may arise during the springtime. We had a question, a very important question posed this week or this month, or, you know, I forget exactly what it was. So we will answer that question. I'll ask it on behalf of the person. And we will also talk about a very special conference that you might be interested in that is featuring Dr. Rachel Geller. So speaking of the devil, let's welcome Dr. Rachel Geller so that we can catch up, pun intended. Dr. Rachel, it's great to see you again.
Nice to be here, Justin. I love our monthly catch-ups.
Yeah, so do I. Thank you. So, well, without further ado, let's go ahead and get started, shall we? So it's, as we record this, it's springtime. But, you know, if someone's listening to this and it's not springtime where they are in the world, that's okay. They can still take this advice. And when the spring comes, it'll be valid, right? So there's a few common, you know, themes that, have a super duper show. It is Michael Parrott's birthday as well on April 25th. Awesome, Michael. So happy early birthday to you. Happy belated birthday to me. So it's always nice to share that. So in any case, one of our fans has a birthday. So in the springtime, there's a few common things that come up. But one of the biggest ones that I think is a good thing to mention here is the blooming of the flowers and all of the birds and bees and other plant life that comes out in our gardens during this time of year, and also in our houses this time of year. So I think it's really important to address that because some of them can be quite toxic to cats. Now, we obviously don't have enough time to talk about every single flower and plant that's toxic to cats. So let's just give some general advice and, of course, tell people that a simple search online will give you a nice long list of what not to have in your house and what to be careful of in terms of plant life. I also happen to have a list. So if anybody really wants a list that's pretty complete, just let me know. Send me a message and I'll be happy to just send it to you. So happy belated purr day, Justin. Thank you very much, whoever said that. Just so you guys know, when you're watching this in live in the Facebook group, if you're listening to it, of course, on the podcast, it's going to be well after my birthday. However, if you're watching this live, I can't see your name, just so you know that. This system doesn't show me or doesn't reveal who this is unless you go through the steps of that. And it's, you know, to protect your confidentiality. So whoever you are who said that, thank you. Okay, Dr. Rachel, so we have plant life, some flowers. I know, for example, that the worst offender is the lily. So we want to not only avoid the lily, because some plants are just to be avoided. This one is one to be absolutely cut out of your life if you have a cat, because even a little pollen brushed up against your coat, if it falls on the cat or they lick it or whatever, could be quite deadly to them, depending on the severity of their reaction. But it can be deadly. So the lily, as nice as they are, is something to probably say goodbye to. You know, because when you have a cat. But other than that, what other things come to mind?
Yeah, I mean, so lilies, you know, like you said, no ifs, ands, and buts, no lilies in the house if you have a cat, because, you know, you might think you can put the lilies up high where the cat can't reach the lilies, or you can put it in a certain place. But, you know, cats are very resourceful when they're curious, and they, even if they can't get to where you place the plant, you know, one jump, often they can figure out how to jump on one thing and then another to get up to where they want to go. So no lilies in the house.
Or a little draft of wind blows the pollen down and there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, cats are naturally curious. They use things, you know, they sniff and maybe taste a little to see what something is before they decide, you know, if they want to actually consume it, and then it might be too late. So yeah, no lilies. But what I wanted to let people know is, you know, in general, plants can be, you know, maybe not deadly, but hazardous to your cat. So even if something is not toxic, it can really cause a lot of gastric distress or It can even cause a trip to the emergency room because, you know, for example, you know, roses. Well, roses themselves are toxic to cats, but, you know, the leaves are, there's thorns, you know, there's things on the roses that can be dangerous. So, you know, I've had this happen myself where I received a plant, I did the Google search, nothing there was toxic, nothing there was deadly, but a leaf fell off. My cat decided to eat the leaf, and she got very, very ill because the leaf ended up obstructing her intestine, and it resulted in a trip to the emergency room. So now when people say to me, what type of plants do you recommend that are safe for your cats? I say fake ones or plastic ones, because I've just decided to err on the side of caution, because as many of you listeners know, a trip to the emergency room could be, you know, quite costly. I probably could have bought a used car for the cost of that, you know, emergency room appointment. So, if you want to have that really complete list, you know, there are many plants and flowers on this list. Send, you know, a note to Justin and he will get that to you. But in general, just be cautious. And if you must have a plant in your home, you know, be sure not to only have this in a place that's totally inaccessible to your cat, even if she gets creative with interim jumping spots, but, you know, there's some type of barrier around the plant, you're cleaning the area around the plant. And, you know, as soon as it looks like that plant is no longer alive, you know, starting to wither, toss it, because you don't want things to start withering and dying and falling on the floor.
Well, there's, what about cat grass? That's okay, right?
I mean, if you buy, you know, cat grass from a reputable, you know, seller that has been, you know, tested and approved, you know, that is fine. So cat grass, catnip, silver vine, these are all products that are safe for your cat, and your cat can enjoy safely. You know, and some cats do have mild reactions to catnip and so forth, that while they are deadly, they're not pleasant. So, you know, most cats love catnip, just like people. There's always an outlier or, you know, that exception to every rule. So be sure your cat is okay with it. But yeah, things like that are safe. Just be sure, you know, you're buying from a reputable, known seller, and that there's some type of a seal, or, you know, that it's been approved for cat.
Yeah, and one Facebook user who's joined us live said, absolutely no marijuana plants. Yeah, yeah. I mean, your cats don't want that.
yeah, no,
it goes without saying.
Yeah, and even be careful with the edibles. You know, there's been an uptick of cats going to the emergency room because of people leaving out edibles.
Yeah, and of course, it goes without say for those of you who are, you know, potheads, I mean, marijuana smokers who are listening to this, don't blow the smoke into your cat's face. I've seen that happen. I've seen people do that with their dogs. It somehow amuses them to see the reaction that the pet gets. It's not good for your pet. It's not healthy for your pet. You are making your pet sick if you do that. And so don't do that. Yeah. It's a little bit of a sidetrack, but since somebody mentioned the marijuana plant, I thought I'd mention, you know, don't, because if it's, you know, legal where you are, maybe you're growing it, I don't know, but just don't blow that smoke into their face or vape into their faces. They really don't, it's not good for them. In any case, so there's that. Now, what about cats that then go outside and want to nibble on the grass that's in the lawn, in the yard? What about that kind of grass?
I mean, you do have to be careful. You know, I don't let my cats outside, but, you know, I know a lot of people do. They, you know, right outside in their front lawn, they know what their front lawns entail. You know, you do need to be careful because not all, you know, many pesticides that people use to keep their lawns well manicured are toxic to cats and other animals. So, you know, if they're going on your own lawn and eating your own grass, and you know you don't place any toxic chemicals or fertilizers on your lawn, then typically that's, you know, okay. But you always want to be careful because things like antifreeze can get on, you know, your lawn. If somebody walks across your lawn and has something on the bottom of their shoes, that can always be, an issue. So, you know, err on the side of caution because, you're talking about your cat's life, you know.
Yeah,
a lot of people have fenced in, you know, yards. They know it's pretty safe, and you know, clean, untreated, unfertilized with toxic chemical stuff. That type grass itself is fine for cats. You know, there's nothing wrong for a cat eating, you know, fresh, clean grass.
They usually, though, like to regurgitate it afterwards as a sort of cleanse.
They sometimes eat it on purpose if they feel like they feel a little bit of a stomach ache, because they know that it's a natural remedy for a stomach ache.
Yeah, a natural cleanser for them to then puke. So don't be alarmed if they eat some grass and then they come inside and then they puke it up, because that's they're cleansing, basically. They're doing it on purpose. So that's okay. So there's I think that's enough on the topics of plants and flowers, because again, we could spend, you know, 6 hours on this topic. There's far too much of it. If somebody really needs a complete list, I can send you one. For free. I'm not selling a book here. It's just a list. That's it, which I got and I, you know, put together from online, which you could do easily as well. So there's no money exchanged here. But that said, again, err on the side of caution, because even a plant that's ostensibly not toxic, that's going to be on that list, for example, and say it's not toxic to cats, can cause obstruction in the intestine or the stomach. So you want to be very careful with that. Like roses is the prime example. You know, I have two cats. One of my cats loves roses. She'll eat them. It's got to be careful. You know, it's for her, it's like a snack. It's like potato chips. So got to be very careful with that personally. So anyway, that's the story with springtime. Obviously, with insects, you want to watch out as well. If your cat gets bitten by some kind of insect or stung by some kind of insect, you want to be very careful with that. But then there's the issue of fleas and ticks. So we want to be... be mindful of that. You know, if you're like most cat owners, you're going to be petting your cat quite a bit. And so if you notice something like that, you know, a bump or something that is foreign, it's very worthwhile having a conversation with your vet. In the UK, we have these video vet things. Different companies do that. The one I use is called VidiVet. And they're very well worth it, because you can have that immediate consultation. They're almost never closed, 24 hours a day. So that way, you know, it's not an emergency. So you don't want to be wasting money and of course stressing your cat and yourself out going to emergency. But you need the question answered. You also don't want to pay the vet for it, unless you have the kind of lovely vet you can pick the phone up to. You know, these days, good luck. But you know, you can with these ones. It usually can even take a photograph of it or whatever. So that's a pretty good investment. Yeah. And some insurances come with that as a benefit for their members of the who have that. So check out if your insurance provider doesn't have that as one of the things that are in your policy.
Yeah, and so that's see if your cat is over grooming, you know, whatever he hadn't before, you know, maybe he's like going after a certain spot in the back of his ear, on his back, that, you know, and it's so itchy that, you know, you're starting to see a bald spot. You know, that's a sign that he may have gotten bitten by something, or there's some type of parasite or a flea. And as Justin said, you know, this is usually not an emergency. So many vets will let you take a picture, and, you know, we have that here as well, and send it off, and they'll say, you know, this is X, Y, or Z. So, you know, your cat is always going to have the occasional itch, so you don't need to go crazy. But if you see them, you know, over and over again, kind of tending and over grooming one spot, especially to the point that there's some hair loss, you know, that might be a time to take a picture.
Yeah, definitely. And there's one other thing when it comes to our insectoid friends, and that is, they're a bit like toys, you know, for a cat. They're attractive, and cats might want to go after them. You know, if it's a fly, fine. You know, it doesn't sting. It's not going to hurt them. But if it's something like a bee or a hornet or a wasp, if it's something that might sting them, then I would personally discourage them from playing with that. Also, if it's a honeybee, discourage them from playing that. I mean, let's not endanger the producers of honey in this planet. They're already endangered enough. So so just limit their playtime with those. If you can, you know, you can't obviously supervise your cats 24/7, but as much as you can, you want to discourage them from playing with those kind of insects, right?
Absolutely, yes. You know, especially like those big puffy bumblebees, you know, a lot of cats find those irresistible, and they can get into your house, you know, even if you have an indoor cat. So, you know, keep an eye on them. I mean, the thing about cats is they're pretty smart about, you know, predator and prey, and they have really good instincts around that. But, you know, you definitely don't want your cat to get stung by a bee or a hornet. It'll be painful, and they, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to get stung by one of those. And then there's birds that come out, and butterflies and all that. I mean, they can play with a butterfly, I guess. But when it comes to a bird, you know, a lot of people have collars with a little bell on it. And the main one, my cats are indoors, so I don't do that. But, you know, apparently the little bell is more to scare the birds away so that they stop predator behavior on the bird, and the bird can get away. And that's to protect the bird. And I think that's probably more of an issue than the relatively rare, you know, predatory bird that's going to attack a cat, like a hawk. Or I mean, I saw a video online of this hawk trying to get at a kitten. I mean, luckily, because otherwise it would have been trauma, this video. The kitten was inside behind the screen on the dashboard of a car. So the hawk was just hitting the windshield. But you could see this giant, like, hawk coming after a... I think it was a bald eagle, if I'm not... But anyway, it was some kind of predatory bird trying to get this kitten. It's relatively rare, you know, in areas where we live, unless of course you live in the countryside or somewhere where there are a lot of those, in which case be very careful around owls and other predatory birds. But most of the time, you know, the bigger issue is your cat going and killing a bird, and, you know, okay, it's not that bad, but, you know, it's not ideal.
Right.
So I don't personally feel that it's bad enough to stick a collar with a bell on it. But, you know, some people disagree with that. So I don't know what you think about that, Dr. Rachel, collar with a bell.
I have very strong feelings on this topic, so I'm just going to let it out. I believe that cats should stay indoors. It's a myth that cats love being outside. Cats like routine, they like security, and they like predictability. And the outside is filled with the unknown, it's filled with unpredictability, there is no routine, and there is no safety and security. Cats are highly territorial creatures, and they can really stress out over territory. Once they go outside, they become aware of all of the other cats who might be on their territory, all of the other cats who might be rougher and tougher and scrappier and braver than they are, all of the other opponents, all of the other invaders, all of the other predators. So whether or not your cat is confident, cats don't like the unknown, and the outdoors is filled with the unknown. So if you let your cat out and then the cat is always, you know, scratching at the door, meowing at the door, it's not because the cat is dying to go outside because he thinks it's so much fun. He wants to go back outside because he's a territorial creature, and he wants to stand his ground, monitor his territory, let other cats know that he's there to stand his ground. And this is all very stressful. It is not a good time. And I won't even go into the numerous dangers that exist outside, some of which you already mentioned. You know, predatory birds like hawks or owls, predatory animals such as coyotes, all kinds of poison for, you know, antifreeze and things that people toss. You know, cats are both predators and prey, so there are plenty of predators. They won't even start with the issue of crazy people who see a cat and may want to do something to that cat. So and my feeling is your cat can be very happy, safe, and secure indoors as long as you provide enrichment, stimulation, you know, food, shelter, love, vertical space, and your cat will really have no need to go outside. I will now step off my soapbox and let you continue with your program.
No, it's a very valid soapbox, and I think that's a very good point, you know, to make, is that we have this issue of people think that cats, especially in this country, are convinced that cats need to go outside and need a cat flap to liberally go in and out, and that they're happier doing that. And of course, that's a myth. It's a myth. Some cats are get used to it and all of that for the reasons that you said, but not that, do they need it? No. But is there something that we could do? Let's say you are in the situation where the cat's an indoor cat, but goes out, and they do beg at the door, or scratch at the door or whatever. And so you're in that situation. Is there anything that you can do at that point, or is it now too late to dissuade them or get them to forget about it?
Well, if you want to retrain them to being like, you know, an indoor only cat, yes, there are a lot of techniques that we can do to retrain that. I won't go into it now. We could maybe do our whole next show on that. But okay. Bullet point, I'll give just people some bullet points. You know, one thing you can do is stop using the door as your greeting spot. You know, like we typically walk in the door and we greet our cats. We say goodbye as we walk out the door. So one thing we want to do is kind of take the door out of the equation. So set up, you know, an enticing cat tree or some type of perch or some type of sunny resting spot, and that's going to be your new greeting spot. And whenever you enter the house to say hello, you're going to go over to that new greeting spot. And whenever you say goodbye, that's where you're going to go. So that's one thing. The other thing is adding vertical space. So you can literally triple the size of your cat's territory by adding vertical space. And I know not everybody, you know, people think, oh, I don't have room for cat trees. Like, cat trees are expensive. They're really bulky. Look around your home. Chances are there's some shelving that's going unused. Chances are you have backs of sofas, tops of bureaus, tops of storage containers. With a little creativity and some minor modifications, you can turn all of that into vertical space. The top of a bureau with a cozy quilt on it can become vertical space. Shelving can become vertical space, you know, with a cozy blanket on it. Your cat can feel like she's navigating long, long journeys away from home with vertical space. So, you know, that's something that you want to do. And then enrichment and hunting opportunities. A lot of times cats want to go outside so they can hunt, because we humans don't provide them with the hunting opportunities that they need indoors. So hunting opportunities mean, you know, interactive play with a fishing pole or wand type toy, puzzle feeders. So when you're not around, the cats can hunt and do a capture and then eat their prey, eat their capture when you're not home, interactive activity toys where they have to overcome a challenge. All of these, you know, enrichment activities will keep your cat happy and stimulated in your home without needing to go outdoors.
Yeah, a little bit like last month, we had a special guest talking all about his invention, which was a special wand type cat toy that we recommend. So, you know, watch last month's episode, the previous episode.
Yes.
Find out more about that and how it works and how you should play with your cats and how long you should play with your cats. And
yes.
I'll give you a spoiler here. It's not like a couple hours a day that you have to dedicate to this. It's really minimal effort, but it's going to have a high impact on your cat. Positive one. So okay, that's kind of what I wanted to talk about when it comes to springtime, birds, bees, and flowers and plant life. And I think that really covers it. So I had a question that came in this week or last week or whenever it was that we will answer. And it has to do with, and it's something that we've talked about before, but it's really worth coming again because it's such a common problem that I keep getting it. So the cat inconsistently, so not every night, you know, wakes the owner up in the middle of the night or wakes the owner's partner up in the middle of the night. Doesn't do that when they're alone, but does that only when the boyfriend, girlfriend is there. That all of a sudden now is the time where cat doesn't want to sleep in, you know, with the owner and just instead comes and wakes them up at all hours of the night to do that. Now, you know, obviously on the surface, what it appears like is that, you know, the cat's jealous or, you know, or it's because now it has had the owner to themselves and now no. And so now they're trying to call, hey, come down, you know, pay attention to me. So, but I'd like to hear, you know, some advice on what to do about that and potentially, if there's a solution to it, but also if, you know, maybe how to avoid it, if there is a way to avoid that, or is it just that you can't know until you're in the situation how the cat's going to react to a new person.
Well, chances are, you know, this happens a lot when there's a new baby, you know, a change in the cat's life, you know, a new spouse, a new boyfriend, a girlfriend, partner, whatever. And it's not usually jealousy. It's usually confusion and that disruption in schedule. And perhaps the owner is not spending as much time with the cat as she once did. So, and then the other thing is take a look at the way our lives and our schedules work as opposed to our cat. So we tend to be busy all day. We're out, we're either at work, we're doing our daily activities, we're running errands. We're busy, busy, busy during the day. And when we come home, we want to kind of sit on the couch and turn on the TV and relax. And as the evening winds down, we're getting more and more relaxed and then we're ready for bed. On the other hand, your cat probably spends most of her day napping. She's by herself. And when you finally come home, well, she's ready for some real interaction. And our interaction might be, you know, affection or having the cat on her lap, but your cat has that energy. She wants to do something. And then, you know, this is building up and building up. And so when you go to sleep, she may go to sleep too, but eventually that pent up energy is just going to be too much for the cat to hold down, and hence your problem. You were woken up at 3 o'clock in the morning. She wants to play. She wants some attention. So there are definitely ways that we can avoid this from happening in the first place. First of all, and I mentioned this already, but puzzle feeders left out when you go to work. So we want your cat to hunt and catch and eat her capture even when you're not home. So leaving out puzzle feeders will encourage your cat to hunt. This expends energy. This keeps your cat busy both mentally and physically, and will break up your cat's daytime napping, because this is what cats want to do with their days. So leave out some puzzle feeders during the day, leave out some interactive activity toys where they have to figure things out. And you can even, rather than leaving out like that bowl of dry food for them to graze on, consider putting small amounts of food in multiple bowls and leaving these in multiple places throughout your home. So your cat has to go on a fun expedition to find her food. And all of these things will keep your cat busy. We want to keep your cat busy during the day. But then the other thing is, I really want you to add a robust interactive play session with the fishing pole type toy right before bed. And when I say before bed, I don't mean like 2 hours before. I mean like one of the last things that you do before you close your eyes. So what we want to do is tap into your cat's natural hunt, eat, sleep cycle. So if we do a play session that resembles a hunt with a fishing pole toy, we're going to mimic prey so it's realistic to the cat. So we tap into her hunting instinct. We're going to let her have multiple captures during the game because that's realistic. There'll be times that the prey might lose its stamina or the prey might play dead to try to trick the cat. And then the cat will see that the prey is no longer moving. The cat will release her grip and then you can start up the game again. So have a hunting session that lasts for about 10 or 15 minutes. Then after about 10 to 15 minutes, we're going to slowly wind down the action. We're not going to say, oh, it's been 10 minutes. Would you look at the time? The session's over. No, we're going to slowly wind it down. The prey is getting tired. The prey is getting injured. The prey dies. And then we're going to let that cat have her final juicy capture. Now she can eat her prey. So you're going to follow this capture immediately with a little bit of food. It can be a treat. It can be a portion of a regular meal. If she's on prescription food, it can be that. But you want to follow that capture with food. Now we have tapped into your cat's natural hunt, eat, sleep cycle. So now she's going to sleep. And this will help her sleep through the night. And then be sure before you go to bed to toss some puzzle feeders on the floor. So if she does wake up before you, she can hunt, capture, and eat on her own. And this will put her back into the sleep cycle.
Okay, that's really interesting. And what about the kind of cat that kind of loses interest in the play, like pretty quickly? So, like my cats, they don't seem to continue playing that long. They just kind of lose interest very fast with the fishing pole toy. So it's a lot of interest at first, and then it's like, it wanes after 2-3 minutes. Like extending that to a 15 minutes is unheard of with Charlotte and Emily. They just lose interest pretty fast.
So it's okay to have a learning curve. It's okay to start off with a 3-minute session, right? And we can build up. So a lot of times once cats realize that this will resemble a hunt and that, you know, there's going to be a point to the play and they'll get food, you know, they'll kind of get with the program. So many people, if you've been playing with your cat and you haven't been ending it with the food, you've kind of taught your cat that the play session is pointless. There's not really a reason for it. So there's not a reason for them to stick with it. But it's okay to start off with a 3 or 4 minute cycle and do the same thing, you know, mimic prey, and then do the wind down after 3 or 4 minutes and end it with food and then gradually extend it. You know, so maybe keep it at 3 minutes for the next few days and then try to maybe push it to 3.5. And when that's going okay, push it to 4. And we don't have to go all the way to 15 minutes. I mean, that's kind of a guideline, but a lot of people do 7 to 10 minutes and that's fine. But we don't want to do more than that. So to keep it realistic, we want to mimic the way a cat would hunt. And there is no cat who would keep going after the same prey for like a half an hour. People will say to me, I played with him for a half an hour and he still, you know, woke me up. Well, it's unrealistic, so you're not tapping into the cycle. And the food at the end is critical for this to work. So I'd rather you do a shorter session, keep it interesting to the cat, and end it with food than try to, you know, stretch it and have it end with, you know, not good results. The other thing is make sure you rotate your toys. So after a while, the same fishing pole type toy is seen by the cat as dead prey. They've already killed it and eaten it, you know, several times. So it's important to rotate your toys too, so they always stay fresh. You know, I'll go see a client and they have like one fishing pole toy. Well, the cat has killed that same prey over and over again. So he's just completely lost interest in that toy.
He's not going to play with the dead bird because it's decomposed by now. You know? So, and if you have one of those sort of forever fishing pole toys, like our friend in the last episode suggested, you just have to change what you clip on the end. You don't have to buy a whole new pole. That's the whole point, is you don't. But you need to change, you know, whether it's a little birdie or a little thing or a little, some cats love a little piece of cardboard, you know, like that's crumpled up, you know, just you have to watch how shredded it gets so that they don't like swallow it. But so you just attach something else on the end of it, maybe some feathers. It's there's so many different options and varieties out there. So that's the important part. So you don't necessarily need to buy a new pole if you have one of those forever ones, but you need to just change, you know, what's on the end of that pole.
Yeah, and that's a terrific product for exactly that reason, that you can really keep it fun and interesting for your cat because the prey is always different and it's Yes.
Well, speak of the devil, I hear someone meowing. Is that him agreeing with us?
Yes, he agrees with everything that I'm saying.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes. Here.
There we go. Hey.
Say hi to the kitty, boss.
Hiya, kitty. Oh, what a cutie. Mine have just had dinner, so they're probably sleeping or napping or something.
Yes.
We have a comment that someone made, which is a rather funny comment, I think. Hello there, JD. Hello, cat people. Let's have a challenge, cat people versus dog people. Well, you know, there are people who feel a challenge like that. And there's people who have both cats and dogs who like people. There are definitely cat people, dog people. And then there's people who just like all animals. So I don't know if that's a challenge that I necessarily want to do, because, I mean, this is the kitty boss. It's not the kitty doggy boss, right? So most of the people on here will be actual actual kitty people, cat people. And then someone else said, you, or maybe it's the same person, I don't know, you guys should get a cat psychic on who can communicate who your cats are, go have passed. I think maybe you mean like in a past life or something. Interesting you say that. We didn't have a psychic on here. So I think it's an interesting comment, but just to let you know, there was an episode I did a while ago with a lady who was actually from the UK, It's not that she's a cat psychic, but she is a cat sort of energy healer. So, for example, she wrote a book recently about cat chakras. I think, Dr. Rachel, you know her. You might know her. But in any case, about cat chakras. And one of the things that she does in the sessions is communicate with your cats, like you're suggesting, communicate with your cats. And so she does do that, and she brings messages from the cats, apparently. So I think it's very interesting. She was a guest on this show, but it was a while, it was long enough ago, and she's written a book. So it's probably would be really fun for us to bring her on as a guest to talk now about her book and about these communications with the cats. But like I said, not a cat psychic. I personally have not met or don't know of any cat psychics, but as far as a cat, you know, energy healer, she does sessions with cats and their owners and apparently draws messages from the cat. So I think that's what you're thinking, or along the lines of what you're thinking. And I should definitely bring her on as a guest and try to organize that, maybe for next month, or we'll see, you know, whenever she's available, if she wants to do that. And I will use your comment as a motivator, as I say, you know, it's been requested. So definitely, because it's been requested, maybe she'll actually say yes and come on the show. So I think that would be really cool. Good idea. Great suggestion. Thank you, whoever you are. What do you think, Dr. Rachel? Would that make a fun show? Good guest?
I think that would be a lot of fun. And I know particularly people who have lost a cat, you know, or lost a pet, are always interested in trying to communicate with that, you know, pet who has died. So I think that would be a fun show. Yes.
Yeah. It says here by your acting BFF. So I think I know who that is, because my best friend from Hollywood.
Yes.
Yeah. My best friend from Hollywood, when we were actors, I bet you. And of course, the first thing that came to mind when you said the thing about the challenge was you, actually. The first thing that came to mind. I believe this is the actor Lorenzo Leonard. So shout out to you if that's you. Apologies if it's not you, but I'm pretty sure I know who that is. It's Lorenzo Leonard. So excellent actor in Hollywood. So and of course, somebody we were best friends, and we went out on auditions together and did all kinds of cool stuff. So yeah, there we go. So thank you for the suggestion, and thank you for tuning into the show. So I think that's a good place to end the show this week, or this month, sorry. It was, like I said, my birthday month. And there is one more thing to mention, and that is that Dr. Rachel is going to be one of the featured, if not the keynote speaker, on a cat behavior conference. It is, I think, based in the USA, but it is online, so it is available around the world. It is all about cat behavior. So it's not about, for example, medical or veterinary issues. It's about the behavioral issues. And there are many experts that are participating in it. Among them are Dr. Rachel, who has, I think, a 90-minute portion and presentation, which is very important. So, Dr. Rachel, would you like to tell us? Oh, one second. Ah, yes, Lorenzo, my wife is a medium. Ah, now I see where this comes from, and could communicate with cats who have passed and would love to come on your show. Ah, okay. Well, have your wife message me. She could message me on my normal Facebook account, and we'll definitely set that up and have her come on the show. That would be a lot of fun to do. In addition to the lady I'm thinking about with the cat chakras and communication, that would be really, really fun. So absolutely, yes. Okay, and thank you again for suggesting your wife sounds like an amazing guest. But anyway, Dr. Rachel, let's get back to talking about this conference. And if you want to tell us a little bit about that.
Yes. And, Saturday, April 20th is the annual Online Behavior Day. And this is an annual conference where cat behaviorists such as myself are featured. It's the same four of us every year. And the whole day is on various cat behavior topics. It's Saturday, April 20th from 10 to 5. Now, this is available nationwide, worldwide. I'm based in the U.S., but We have people taking this from Hong Kong and Italy and so forth. So one of the benefits of this conference is, as long as you register and sign up, you will be able to access the recording of the conference. And the recordings are available for 3 months. So if the time period doesn't work for where you are, or you know, you're busy that day, you already have a commitment, whatever, register for the conference and you can watch it and access it anytime. It's a great day. It's all filled about, you know, topics of cat behavior. I participate in this every single year. There's four of us. We each take on a topic. We all take cat behavior questions after each of our presentations. And it's really just a day filled with everything cat and cat behavior. So it's presented by the Community Cats Podcast. And you can go to communitycatspodcast.com to sign up and register. And it would be great to see you guys there.
Absolutely. And if you guys need that link, if you're listening to this on time, you know, recording this, it's the 12th of April in 2024. If you're listening to this in October, then it's passed already, but you can still sign up for next year's maybe. Yeah. But just let us know if you need that. I'm not gonna post any links or things like that at this point. Just touch base with us. We're accessible enough, both Dr. Rachel and myself, that we'll be happy to send that to you. Yes. Directly. It's not a concern. So if you want the link for the conference, it's definitely worth watching and getting many perspectives on behavior. You might be asking the question, well, you know, if I listen to this show or watch the show, but if most people listen, if I listen to this show, why do I need that? Well, of course you don't. That's the point, is you don't need it. But it is not only interesting, but very valuable to get multiple perspectives and viewpoints on the behavior of a cat. I've never claimed to be the one and only valid authority about cats, nor is Dr. Rachel.
Right.
We have facts, we have experience, we have training, we have opinions at the end of the day. And other people have different opinions. There's a very famous person out there who's written many books and has television shows about cat behavior, and he's wonderful, but I don't agree with much of what he puts forward, because in my opinion, he makes it seem like cats are extremely difficult, complicated animals. And like, why would you want that? And I am on a mission to get 1 million more cats adopted around the world. And if everybody thinks that, why would you want a cat? And also because I don't believe it's true. I think that's misleading. I think cats can be, of course, very difficult and from hell, but most cats are amazing, wonderful, loving creatures. Reason yeah. Behaviorists like Dr. Rachel are around, the reason conferences like this are not only to enhance your relationship with cats, but if you need a helping hand when you're in a difficult situation with the behavior of your pet cat, and also, if something arises during its lifespan that causes difficulty, you have a resource, you have some knowledge, you have some people you can go to. Or if, you know, you have friends, or if you adopt, there could be many scenarios. And that's the reason.
We do all kinds of poll questions, and everybody has a different expertise. You know, one person is her main focus is pet first aid and feeding. And we all, every year we take on a different topic, but you know, if anyone ever looked at my biography, you'll see that I have multiple certifications in the cat behavior world, and I've been doing this for a long time. And every year when I participate in this, I always learn something new. But beyond that, it's just really fun to be part of this special cat day and be, you know, surrounded by other cat enthusiasts and, just, you know, you always learn something new, and it's just a nice thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, what it sounds like is that you both celebrate and celebrate cats. Yeah, so yeah, you learn something and you have joy. So yes. Cat Behavior Conference, an annual thing. Let either Dr. Rachel or myself know, and we'll be happy to just send you the information on how to sign up to watch it and participate. So there you go. Well, Dr. Rachel, I think that's a great show. I think I hope it's helping, you know, the people who are listening to deal with the springtime issues or the behavior issues that come up with that, and also, you know, might consider going to this conference. So thank you very much. Have a happy springtime, and we just had an eclipse, we just had an equinox, and everybody's all flustered about it, but we're not, and my cats were just fine. So I will see you in May, where we can talk about things that have to do with, again, a bit more springtime, maybe the summertime, and let's dive a little deeper into that other issue that we talked about a bit earlier, where we said it's a longer topic and we can do a whole show about it. So let's do that next show, and I will see you. Wow, we got a smiley face from someone. Well, thank you very much. Well, Meow Mentors, this is Justin, Cat Lady Justin, and this is the Kitty Boss, where we pick, pamper, and protect your practically perfect pussy cat for a lifetime of unconditional love. I will see you next month.